All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Eddie Case. I come to Bethany. I've been here for about 18 years. So tonight we're going to talk about God's plan for your life. I believe that God has a specific and a perfect plan for each and every one of our lives. Freddie said something this morning. I really want to share this, really just to encourage you guys. When I was preparing what I was going to talk about, I wasn't really going to give any testimony. Sometimes when I talk, I give some testimonies on God working in my life. But when Fred said that we lost our thirst or we lose our thirst, it just brought me back to something. So I just want to share this about my walk with God. My first 2 years with God, and I've been serving God for 20 years, and by the grace of God, I haven't backslidden. And I'm not saying that in a prideful way. I'm just saying by the grace of God, I haven't fallen away from God. My first 2 years, though, I was really on fire for God, and things were going really well in my life. I built a house. Marriage is good. I was newly married. Everything is going great. And then I think I thought I made it somewhere. I think I made it to the promised land. And the hunger that I had, the reading the Bible every day and praying always, I was praying about 20 times a day. I work in a prison. You know, I've been working at the Sheriff's Department for 26 years. So I have no choice but to pray. And however, 2 years after being saved, I think I thought I made it to the promised land. And I wasn't reading the Bible as much. As a matter of fact, there were some weeks that the only time I was reading the Bible was when I was coming to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm sharing that with you guys because at that point in my life, I built a house in those 8 years where I thought I made it somewhere and I ended up losing that fire or that thirst that Fred talks about. I lost my house. My marriage was an absolute mess. In fact, in that 8 years, my wife and I were going to the Love Dare classes, and on Friday nights on the way over, we're fighting on the way over. So I really had no control over anything in my life. But about 10 years ago, it was like God hit me with a ton of bricks and it absolutely woke me up. Now, I had been doing a Bible text. We had started it on our softball team. I had been doing it. We've been doing it for 20 years, but it was once a week. Then it was twice a week. 10 years ago, when God hit me upside the head and I knew that I needed to get hungry for the things of God. I know I needed to get into the Word more. I needed to fast and pray more. I know I needed to get on fire for God again. 10 years ago, I did. And I began to add some things in my Christian walk that really got me to where I'm at today. And the single biggest thing that I added to my Christian walk was reading the Bible every single day. So at that point, 10 years ago, we went to the daily Bible text every day. I haven't missed a day in 10 years, and I don't say that in a prideful way. I say it that when we make the adjustments in our life, like before class, I was talking about how we made a little in our diet, right? And God honors it. God blesses it. So started to pray every day. The other thing I did, remember I told you my marriage was an absolute mess. So I had started to read the Bible with my wife every single day. So in addition to having a Bible study with the guys and sending out a daily text, when I would leave for work, I would call my wife, and we still do this. Every single day we do this. There's not a day that I'm not driving to work that I don't call my wife or she calls me as soon as I get in the car and drive away. One day she prays, one day I pray, and she reads the Bible to me every single day. So not only do I read the Bible on my own, at least once every morning, but usually twice a day, my wife is reading the Bible to me every day. My marriage is absolutely supernatural, and I'm not saying it in a prideful way. I'm saying it to encourage someone. Amen. Because I lost a house. I was losing my wife. I mean, we'd fight on a Friday. We wouldn't talk till Monday. That was common, you know? My wife and I don't argue, you know? So I'm just saying, If you take steps in trying to get closer to God, and what I'm going to talk about today is God's got a perfect plan for each and every one of our lives, but there's some things that he expects us to do. Yeah. We have to get close to you. We've heard it already. It's been said. Pastor Tim just talked about it. I want to write down something else Pastor Tim had mentioned about us getting religious. You know, that third year of my walk with Christ, I got religious. And the religious term is called self-righteous, and it can happen to any one of us. I don't want you guys to get self-righteous. I want you guys to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God, hungry and thirsty for his righteousness in your life. And sometimes I think when we're teaching the men's classes and stuff, I think men are thinking that we're trying to put too much on them. But here's the reality. when we're reading the Bible every day and we're fasting and praying, I'm not asking you to do the things God has spoken to me to do, to read the Bible every day, to read and pray with my wife every day, to read the Bible with my wife, and to fast once a week. I fast once a week, and I've been doing it for the last 9 months, 24 hours, just drinking water, because that's what God placed on my heart because I wasn't happy. Here's another amazing thing to me about God. And if you press in to get closer to God, you know, 20 years ago, I could look back at where I was. And I want to say this to you because I don't want you guys to think the wrong thing what I'm saying, because I'm going to tell you how far away from God I am. I'm looking at Stephen in the Bible getting stoned, and he's asking God not to hold that charge against them. He's basically saying to God, forgive them. Amen. And then I'm looking at Paul in prison, and all he's thinking about is us. All he's thinking about is Luke, get me to Mark. I need the parchments. I got to get the message of the Bible out. I'm trying to put myself in Paul's situation. I'm trying to imagine how he's locked up in this dark dungeon, because I don't know where I read it, but it was dark, you know, in that dungeon that Paul is at. And I'm wondering if I'm thinking about getting the gospel out or if I'm just having a pity party for Eddie if I'm in that situation. So what I'm telling you is I'm not where Paul was. I'm not where Stephen was. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not where Eddie was 20 years ago.
Hallelujah.
I'm not where Eddie was 10 years ago. Amen. And here's the good thing about God and about the word of God being alive in our life. I'm not where I was 6 months ago. Now, that's exciting to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because I could have gotten content 10 years ago when I had gotten woke up and then started that walk again, reading the Bible every day. I could have let self-righteousness come back in. But now I have more information. I have more knowledge. I'm hungrier and thirstier. And I read the Bible every day, and I'm learning in the word the things that I need to do. And here's the thing. When we do more for God, when those trials of life come, because they come at all of us, the Bible said it rains on the just as well as the unjust. The storms of life that are coming at each and every one of us, whether it's relational, whether it's a problem in our marriage, a problem with our finances, a problem on our job. Issues are going to come at all of us, whether it's a doctor's report. The issues are going to come. But here's the great thing about having a good, strong, deeply rooted relationship with God. By reading the Bible and praying and fasting and getting real close to God, when those storms of life come, I call them the battles of life, when they come at us, God gives us peace. Amen. In the middle of a storm, he can give us peace. Because we're quick to turn to him because we know we got no power over this situation or circumstance we're in. So we give it to him. And he takes us through. I could share hundreds of testimonies on how he has worked in my life in the last 10 years. But I want to go to a portion of scripture. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 18. I love this story about King Hezekiah. He reminds me of us because he wasn't a perfect man. And even though he was so blessed by God. We're going to read this. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 2 through 7. It says he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. This is what we have to learn from the men that came before us. He did what was right. Pastor Tim was talking about it. Don't be a reader, a hearer of the word only, but to be a doer of the word. Yeah. Just as his father David had done. That refers to King David, his forefather, not his biological father, King Ahaz, who actually was worshiping idols, who was an absolute mess. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, many of which his father had raised up. He tore down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. This is what I want to learn from Hezekiah. Like we want to learn from all those that came before us. Somebody was in there talking to me about Joseph's life. Joseph was the first person I fell in love with in the Bible. I'm going to share a little testimony in a few minutes about a conversation I had at work. I told this person that the first person that I'm going to run to when I get to heaven is Paul, because Paul changed the direction of my life. His teaching has changed the direction of my life. Help me get so focused and deeply rooted in the things of God. I mean, it's easy, I think, when you have a man up here that's walking the walk, that he's talking to you. I think it's easy for us to be able to grab that and apply it to our life. But when we can grab it out of the Bible by the life of Hezekiah or the life of Stephen or the life of Paul, and we can grab a hold of that and let that shape us and mold us to see what they did and how they got blessed by God. So it says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or even after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve them. What did the kings before them do? They were bowing down to these other kings who were worshiping idols, but not Hezekiah. In the Amplified Bible, it states this, and the Lord was with Hezekiah, and he was successful wherever he went. Hezekiah held fast to the Lord. This is what I'm hoping that we can hear a word from God today in this men's conference today, that we can grab something that we can apply to our life that can help us hold tight to the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Hezekiah knew God, and he was obedient to God, like Pastor Tim was saying. So it's not just reading the word and hearing the word, but it's being a doer of the word. That's what God is looking for from each of us, to know him in our lives and for us to obey him. If we really want to get to know God, we need to read the Bible, pray, and spend time with him. Take a look at Romans 12 and 2. And some of these verses I'm going to kind of go over quickly, so you may not have a chance to turn to them. But here's what it says in Romans 12 and 2. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I said it when I started. I believe that God's got a perfect plan for each and every one of our lives. You know what's sad to me is? I think some of us, because the devil is so real. In fact, in the middle of my fasting, when I started last Wednesday to start to decide to prepare exactly what I was going to speak about today, what happens to me? I'm feeling this not good feeling. I'm starting to come down with flu symptoms, headache, chest cold, coughing, sore throat. But I know God and I know the devil. I know that God might have a word for me to say today, or maybe even a couple words that somebody in here can grab a hold of. And to get focused and turn closer to God. And that word can come alive in your life that you can get even deeper in your place with God right now, that God could be glorified by your life. So I know that the enemy was probably the one to bring these feelings on me. And I'm saying, God, I know in the Bible it says that I've been healed. You know, by the stripes that you bore on your back, I'm healed. So I'm claiming the healing right now. I still have the symptoms, but I'm feeling like God's healed me. But I think sometimes we have to go through something, you know, and see where our faith really is. So in the middle of this, I got to yesterday. I was feeling so bad yesterday. Here I am. My wife is out with the girls and I'm at home. I spent yesterday morning from 8 in the morning till 8:45, about 8:45, just praying and reading and continuing to fine tune this message. And, I said, I think I'm going to have to call Pastor Tim and tell him that I'm not going to be able to speak tomorrow. That's how I was at one point. And I said to myself, you know what? That's just the devil trying to discourage you or to derail you, because that's what he does. He comes at us to try to prevent what God wants to do. Exactly. With that being said, I really believe with everything I have that somebody's going to hear a word today that's going to take you into a deeper place with your relationship with God. And good things are going to happen through that. The Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God alive in our lives because the Word is alive. The Word will renew our minds and help us become all that God wants us to be. As we read it, we give ourselves an opportunity to know God more and to become more like God. I like this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I know you're not going to have time to turn to it. And because of time, I just want to keep moving through. It says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Denying ourselves is desiring God's will more than our own will.
Yeah.
This is challenging for us because of the flesh we live in. Pastor Tim said something about the tent, and I think about it. This flesh we live in is our tent, a tent of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside us.
Yeah, yeah.
God wants to do great things through us. This is why we need to be purposeful and intentional every day. From the time we wake up in the morning, we need to crucify this flesh we live in with prayer and fasting. The single best thing I did in my life was really reading the Bible every day. But this thing with fasting and praying once a week for 8 hours, it got me to have an easier time with crucifying my flesh. It's been about 9 months, but it's every single Wednesday while I'm at work that I feel that pain in my stomach. I can't tell you how many times on a Wednesday I pray. I'm constantly praying at work, but on Wednesdays, I'm praying more because this flesh is hungry. This flesh wants to eat. But I'm crucifying this flesh. I'm not giving into the weakness of this flesh because I know that the God that I serve can take me through and it's going to strengthen me. I'm going to be able to become more like him. I'm going to be able to become available to him, to what he wants to do through me. I'm going to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit working through me. That's where God wants us to be. We can be there. But when we get up in the morning, we got to be intentional. We got to be mindful. Every morning we shouldn't start our day. Don't even get out of your bed yet unless you're just falling to your knees to get down on your knees and pray and ask God. You want to put on that whole armor of God first thing in the morning. Ask him to crucify this flesh you live in. Even my prayer with my wife, it's one of the things that I pray almost every day. Lord, crucify this flesh we live in, because when I'm praying with my wife, I say, we crucify this man and this woman and allow your spirit to rise up in us. That every word we speak and everything we do, we can glorify you. That's where my heart's at. That's where God wants our hearts to be. He wants to do great things through us. Man, I didn't think I was there. I didn't write it in my notes, but I got to share this with you. There was about a year ago, I'm at a community meeting and God let me see so clearly this guy sitting across from me too in this meeting this day, that these people are going to come up and try to bring you down, to bring up their agendas. I hug them. I treat them. I love my enemy, but I'm aware of it. You know what I mean? Yeah, it hurt. It hurt. But at the same time, I already knew that God's my avenger. I already know that God is going to want to deal with him. I don't have to worry. I don't have to do this, right? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. All I have to do is pray and say, you know, God, even though I'm not really liking him, I want to be able to love him the way you want me to love him. I want people to see that I'm not like he is. Yeah. God moved him out. He's gone. You know, that's what God does. And the other person that was in that room that was part of his team and trying to move against us because of their own personal agendas, which are far against God and far against me because of the badge that I wear for law enforcement. He's gone too. God moved him out. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God will take the people that are trying to hurt us and God will avenge them. God's plan for you is better than your plan for you. I like this, 2 Timothy 1 and 9. It says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This is grace was given to us through Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Many times I think we're worried about the call that God might have on our life. I know this because I talk to a lot of people. Eddie, I want to do it, but I'm a little nervous about it. If God's called us to do something, he's going to qualify us to do it. We don't have to be worried about it. All we got to do is speak to God. And if we really feel led to go that way, to do this vision that he has given us, just trust and believe that everything's going to work out. If it's God's will, nobody, even those two guys, can't come against it. If it's God's will, it's going to come to pass. That's why fasting and praying is important, because in the Bible it says to try the Spirit by the Spirit. So we got to know that it's the Spirit of God speaking to us, especially if it's a call that we feel led to do something. Know that you know that you know that it's coming from God. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 31. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lonely things of this world and the despised things and the things that were not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Come on.
Kevin, only because of time, can you guys write your questions down and we can save the questions to the end? Yeah. Yeah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 31. So what amazes me the most about King Hezekiah is that he wasn't raised in a godly home. And that's encouraging to me. And it should be encouraging to many of us. Now, his father is worshiping idols. And I'm sure he read all the writings of Moses. I'm just guessing from some of the things I read about Hezekiah. I know that he read Moses's writings. And I know he believed, just listening to his story, I know he believed and trusted in God with all of his heart, his mind, his soul, and his strength. But it's encouraging to me, and it should be encouraging to us that have not been raised in Christian homes, that we too can get to know God and we can be used by God. I love how God worked through King Hezekiah, and I love how he answers his prayer. I don't know if you guys remember this. In Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 5. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and tell Hezekiah, that is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to your life." Amen. What a great reminder of the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I think James spoke about that. Yeah. When our heart is sincere and we're crying out to God, God knows we're his children. He doesn't walk away from us. Right. We walk away from him. In fact, when we take one step towards him, he comes rushing up to us. That's what I believe. He comes rushing up to us. But we, from the sinful nature, I guess, that we have in, like me, 3 years into my Christian walk, you start to get a little self-righteous. We allow sin to enter in and pushes us away from God. God doesn't go nowhere. God's here. Eddie's the one that went somewhere. But this is amazing to me about God. So even though I was here with God and then sin started to come in and push, I'm pushing myself away from God. As soon as I took one step, there's God. Because he loves us. Amen. He sent his only son to die for us. But he wants us to receive everything he has for us. Today, I want to speak about the plan he has for our lives. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. Yep. He has a plan for every single one of our lives.
Amen.
How do we get there? One, to know what his will is, and two, to be able to walk it out. Rhetorical question. We do like King Hezekiah. We trust God and we keep his commandments. When Jesus was asked by the religious leaders, what was the greatest commandment? He replied in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Sometimes we sacrifice for God. Sometimes we do sacrificial worship. Sometimes we sacrifice eating. Sometimes we sacrifice our time. And we do these things because we want to receive from God. I love what it says in Jeremiah 7, 22 and 23. It says, "For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command, obey me. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I have commanded you, that it may go well with you." 1 Samuel 15 and 22. "But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." This is the word of God. "And to heed is better than the fat of rams." 1 John 2 and 5. "But if anyone obey his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him." Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." When the Bible tells us to fear God, it's really not telling us to be afraid of God. It's really telling us to have a great reverence for God. Yeah. But if we're going to fear anything in this world, shouldn't we fear the one that has power over where we spend eternity? God doesn't want us to fear him. He wants us to love him. and he wants us to live for him. Let us always have the right attitude about God. Let us always have the right attitude about what God has for us and what he wants us to do through us. Our human nature can give us an attitude that God has so many commands. I don't know if you guys ever been there, but I've heard many talk about this. In fact, some people don't come to church because they think that there's way too many rules.
Oh, yeah.
So listen to this. Our human nature can give us an attitude that God has so many commands for us to keep and so many rules of the things we shouldn't be doing. The truth is, if we have an attitude for God's ways and hunger for more of him and his righteousness in our lives, we'll experience all his goodness. God doesn't want us to obey him to put rules on us. God wants us to obey him because we're going to eat better,
yeah, yeah.
Because we're going to be better husbands, because we're going to be better fathers.
Yeah.
He wants us to have all the information that he's given us because it's going to make us better servants of his. It's going to put us in a position where we're able to live out his perfect will. Without obeying God, we find ourselves in a situation where the devil is having a lot of victory in our lives. When the devil throws those storms of life, like me, bringing me this headache and this cough, and I was so tired this morning, didn't think I was able to come. He is nothing but a liar.
Come on.
And I know that I'm going to put my trust in God, and I know that God's going to take me through one way or another. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you.
Yeah.
He did it for Paul. Amen, Billy.
Amen.
There's a great freedom in our relationship with God.
Amen.
We can't explain it until we really start living it. The last 10 years, somebody would say, Eddie, you just seem to be like a fanatic for God. Well, I can't help it. I'm hungry for him. I'm thirsty for him. But here's the most amazing thing. Some of those storms that I experienced in year number 3 to 10, some of those storms that I lost, those battles of life, I lost my house, I almost lost my marriage. I was losing those little battles. I've had even greater battles. Some know the testimony only 6 years ago. I was in the water. I mean, my uncle died. I couldn't pull him out of the water. It was traumatic. It caused a heart attack. But see, I was losing little battles when I was in year 3 to 10. But year 10, when I really gave him my whole heart, when I really got hungry and thirsty, and I started to receive his righteousness working through me, not only am I winning those little battles that are coming, but those major storms of life that sometimes come, you can win those. I try to tell the guys in our classes on Sunday, and our reading and praying during the week is preparation time. I don't care who we are. The battles of life are going to come at us. I mean, geez, when we get the report that someone close to us ended up passing away, that's a battle. But when we got a deep relationship with God, God could bring a great peace that passes all understanding in the middle of that. That's absolutely amazing to me.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, my uncle was like my father. I mean, it happened on a Tuesday. On Thursday, I already had peace. I can't explain it. I was ministering to people in the hospital. I didn't skip a beat when I got out of the hospital. I was on fire for God, even more on fire for God after going through that. What would have happened to me in that 3-year to 10-year period when I was a mess, when I was reading the Bible maybe once a week, you know what would have happened to me? I would have been crumbled. I would have been back to drinking. I would have been fighting with my wife. I would have been punching things. That's what I used to do. But now you can go through storms of life because of the relationship with God. God's not putting burdens on us. I know I got a scripture in here. I don't want to get ahead of it. But let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what I want everyone to know. Trying to keep his commands, being hungry and thirsty for more of God and his righteousness in your life is not a burden on you.
Right.
Because his yoke is light.
Yeah.
It's peace. It's love. It's experience, and the fruit of the spirits are now working in your life because you're coming a little bit more like Christ. You may not be like Christ. You may not even be like Paul or even Stephen. But you're now who you were 6 months ago. Today's a new day for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
When we live out his word in our lives, our marriages get better. On our jobs, we get better. Our faith is stronger. Our finances are better. Yeah. Our health is better. Our families are closer. We have a greater hunger and a greater thirst for more of God and His righteousness in our life. Yeah. Even in the middle of the storms, we can experience a great peace of God that passes all understanding. Yeah. Amazing the God we serve. In John 16 and 33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The reality is, because of the fallen world we live in, we're all going to experience troubles in life. The good news is, with a strong relationship with God, Jesus overcame the world. We too can overcome the world. We can win every battle that life brings our way. We're getting ready to start the next Champions of Honor, Tier 1. The first book we're going to read is Six Battles Every Man Must Win. Some good news in the gospel. Pastor Tim told us what the gospel message really is all about. Jesus Christ, He died so we could be reunited back to God. But there's other messages that come in the gospel of Christ that we can be like Him. We can win and overcome those same battles that He had to face. In the gospel is that God has made a way for us to win every battle we face. We can do all things through Christ. How do we win every battle? We walk it out day by day. Reading the Bible, fasting and praying, fellowshipping with other believers, attending discipleship classes, attending conferences, becoming a champion of honor, having an accountability partner, praying always and walking out the walk in our homes, on our jobs, in our finances, with our health, in our faith, having a greater hunger for more of God and His ways in our lives. Yeah. That's how we win it. That's how we walk it out. In John 20 and 21, it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And the Father has sent me. I am sending you. God's got a plan for our lives. I can't tell you. It could be not everybody's called to be a missionary. Not everybody's called to be a pastor or a teacher. But we can be evangelists in everything we do in our communities, on our jobs. God will provide us the peace to know that He will take us through. Last week, I had to meet with an inmate, and going into the meeting, I knew it was going to be a tough meeting. Now, this is a guy who's killed somebody. So he did some time in the state. He came back through as part of our state step down back into the county. I met with him already once, so I already knew what the meeting was going to be like. I already knew that he didn't want anything to do with me because of the badge. He made it real clear in the first 5 minutes in the room. I can't tell you how many times I prayed because I could see evil all over him. I could see evil all over him. And I'm praying to God because I needed the words. All I can tell you is this. I can't give you all the specifics, but 45 minutes later, I went to shake his hand. He gave me a hug. All I can tell you is God wants to do some amazing things through each and every one of us. He can do it on our job. He can do it in our homes. He can do it anywhere He wants. And all we have to do is stay close to Him and we'll start to feel led. Look at Acts 9, 15 and 16. I put this verse in here because it shows that Paul knew he was going to suffer. Paul knew that he was going to suffer, but it didn't stop him from accepting the call that Christ had on his life. How do you know that, Eddie? Right here in Acts 9:15, it says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Paul knew he was going to suffer. I love this. And almost every time I talk to a group of men, I want to put this in here because Paul suffered more than any single one of us. Paul suffered more than anyone except for Christ. He suffered for more than anybody else in the Bible. And we know guys like Joseph and went through great sufferings. But look at Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 21. Paul speaks of his sufferings. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they the servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. Paul's just saying he don't like to boast. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times received from the Jews, 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly, on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches, who is weak and I do not feel weak, who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. I love that because it shows us everything that Paul suffered. He knew that they were about to kill him. I don't think Paul knew how he was going to die. Maybe days before they chopped off his head, I think he might have known. But he just was willing to leave it all on the field for the call of Christ on his life. Amen. The thing that amazes me the most about Paul's life, he knew he was going to suffer. He never let any of the suffering derail him. I don't think any of us will have to suffer the same Christ that Jesus suffered. I don't think any of us will have to suffer the same cross that Paul suffered. I believe you are here today because you want to live for God. You want to hear what we all want to hear one day. For God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Yeah. Through faith in Christ, we will be able to pick up the cross he has called us to carry. We'll be able to walk out the life that he has called us to live. What we need to know is that God has called each of us to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses and follow Christ. And although that may look different for each of us, because he has given each of us our own gifts, talents, passion, his call for all of us is knowing him, loving him, and living to glorify him with every word we speak and everything we do.
Yes.
Matthew 28:18-20, I'm getting ready to finish. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." No matter what he has called us to do, he will always be with us. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all ways submit to him. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings our way in the middle of every storm of life. God took that storm of my uncle dying and my heart being ripped out for me to be able to have a great testimony that I could share for other men. God knew that I was built to be able to do it because he knew how passionate I was to give him my whole heart. He knew how hungry and thirsty I was for lost souls. And he knew that I was going to be faithful. He gave me the strength to get through it. And now I was able to testify to other people that needed to hear that. Because of the storms their lives were going through. In Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. As Christians, we should be the best husbands. We should be the best fathers. We should be the best employees on our jobs, and people should see that the fire we have for God, we should be in good health, and we should be good stewards with all that he provides for us. Some takeaways from today. God has a very specific purpose and plan for your life. God called you and he will qualify you. Read your Bible daily. Pray continually. I prayed while the inmate was talking and telling me that he didn't want to talk to me. He wasn't looking to build with me. He didn't really want to get to know me because of the badge and because I work close to cops. He didn't want nothing to do with me. But at the end, when I shook his hand, he wanted to give me a hug. Hunger and thirst for more of God and his righteousness in your life always. None of this is natural. We need to be purposeful and intentional. And when we move towards God, he will move towards us. And as we follow Christ, others will surely follow us to him. I love how Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." What is our measuring stick? to know if God is working in our life. The last class I was in, he listed Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, the fruit of the Spirit. We need to examine ourselves every day. If we see that we don't have this fruit of the Spirit activated in our life, we need to go to the altar. We need to cry out to God. We need to look at ourselves and see what kind of unconfessed sin we have in our life. And we need to give it all to God and ask God to pour out his Spirit in greater ways, that his fruit could be evidence in our life, because it's that fruit that people are going to see in us that's going to lead them to God. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things are no law. You know what my wife said to me a couple months ago? She says, baby, I love the way you correct me gently. That melted my heart. I didn't realize that I had that. I know I got the fruit of the Spirit working in me, but to hear your wife tell you that she loves the way you correct her gently, what wife likes to be corrected? My wife said that to me, Fred. If you are not seeing the evidence of the fruit and the Spirit working in your life, please don't leave here today without responding to an altar call. You are here today because God called you. He will qualify you. If you are losing battles, you need the Holy Ghost power that is available for you and that will allow you to be victorious in every situation and able to usher the kingdom of God wherever you go. So if you don't know that you know that you know that you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you think that there's a chance that you might have lost it, the Spirit might have left you because you let sin make its way back into your life, don't be so prideful. When they have the altar call this afternoon, I ask you to go up. If you want me to go up and pray with you, I'm there to pray. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus as we close. Father God, we just truly thank you and praise you, Father, for who you are, for what you've done, Lord. We thank you, God, for the call that you have on each and every one of our lives, Lord. Let us never be derailed, Father God, by situations, circumstances, Lord, or the tricks of the enemy, Father God. Let us always hunger and thirst for more of you and your righteousness in your life and in our lives, God. Please, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you to have your way, Lord, that every word we speak and everything we do, God, that we can glorify you, every single one of us, Lord. Let us leave here today, Lord, with a word that we can stand on, Father God, that could bring us into a deeper relationship with you, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. We love you. And we ask all things in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.